Good to see everybody this morning. Yeah, I may have shared with you, I made that comment to a brother somewhere, some few years back, told him it was good to see him, and his remark to me was, well, at my age, it's always better to be seen than viewed. So, we are thankful to God's grace and mercy to be here. Thankful that we do know that it is by God's grace and mercy. As Brother Randy's already said, we've had a wonderful 3 days past in fellowship with his people. Good singing, good preaching. A little road weary. But the Lord's able to take care of all that too. I will remind you, while I'm thinking about it, that Lord willing, Elder Richard Pinnell will be with you the second Sunday in September. And that's not too far away, because the Lord willing, and I think Leah's sister Joy is going to be coming down that weekend, so Leah and I will, Lord willing, be with the church in Atlanta for their homecoming meeting, for their fall meeting, and certainly appreciate an interest in your prayers there. One thing we didn't make mention of today, but offer up a little prayer of thanksgiving. The folks at Lane's Church, which is over near Brooklet, Georgia, and I'm sure all the brethren in that vicinity, and if I was closer, I'd be one of them. They're going to gather at Lane's this afternoon to celebrate the 60th year of Elder Emerson Proctor's time in the ministry. Now that's something to celebrate. 60 years of serving God's people. And if he's always been the same kind and sweet and humble servant that I have known him to be in the short time that I've known him, then it's been a good 60 years for him and for God's people. Brother Emerson is certainly a brother that I am very thankful that I was blessed to make his acquaintance. Our Sunday morning studies the last few weeks have been in the book of Isaiah. Some of my personal readings have been in the book of Isaiah. And I want to call you back there for just a few moments this morning, if the Lord would bless us, back to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I want to begin at the 28th verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Speaking to his people through the prophet, he says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Let me ask you something. You ever feel like you're fighting your battles alone? You ever have a moment, or maybe a day, or maybe a week, or sometimes maybe months at a time, that you feel like that nobody understands what you're going through, that nobody can really fully appreciate what you're facing, that nobody can really offer you any comfort or any consolation, that you're just out there, hung out there all alone and on your own and by yourself, and you just don't have any help. God said, "Don't you know?" Don't you know? Haven't you been told that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? God said, you might get tired, but I don't. You might be overwhelmed sometimes, but I'm not. There may be times that you don't know what to do. Now, you see, the problem is, so much of the time when we don't know what to do, we'll run try this and we'll run try that and we'll run try something else. When the smart thing to do, when we don't know what to do, the smart thing to do is stop. Stand still. Now, some folks will tell you, well, you can't just quit and do nothing. I'm not telling you to quit and do nothing either. I'm telling you to stand still. Quitting and doing nothing is when you sit down and fold your hands and say, oh, well, that's not what we're talking about. Stand still. Stop where you are. Quit running helter-skelter through your mind and through your day and through your options and be quiet. Haven't you heard? Don't you know that God does not grow weary? God does not faint. God does not take his eye off of you. God does not cease to care for you. There is never a moment in your life that God has not reached out to you with open arms and said, lean on me. Sometimes we're just too busy saying, woe is me, that we can't hear him say, that we don't hear him say, lean on me, trust in me, look to me. You have heard, you've been told. These were rhetorical questions. God wasn't asking them. Didn't somebody tell you what he was doing was calling to their mind? You've been told. You have heard. You know that I don't get weary. You know that I don't get tired. You know that I'm not faint. He said, I didn't take the seventh day off because I was tired. I took the seventh day because I was finished. God doesn't need a day of rest. Not because he's weary. He made that for us. The Sabbath with God was the fact that he was done. He'd finished everything he set out to do. Now you stop and think about that for a minute. When he was finished with creation, he had in his own mind and purpose finished everything he had set out to do. Oh, we might not have seen the fulfillment of it all yet, but he finished it just the same. When he came to rest that seventh day, he had already finished your salvation. When he, in his mind and purpose, it was sealed and stood as good as done. There were still some things. His only begotten had to be born of a virgin, yes. He had to live in this world for 33 and a half years. Yes. He had 3.5 years of ministering among the Jews. Yes. He had to go to the cross. He had to suffer. He had to die. He was resurrected. Yes, all those things were yet to be physically accomplished, but in the mind and the purpose of God, it was sealed and it was done, and God was at rest in his work. And now he says, I know you've heard this. I know you've been told this. You can't find, when he says there is no searching of his understanding, what God was saying was this: there's no limit to what I know. There's no limit to what I understand. Don't think that you're facing something that I'm not prepared to handle. How many times do you hear folks make the comment anymore, or the reason or the excuse? You ask them how they're doing. Well, it's complicated. How's this relationship going? Well, it's complicated. How are things at work? Well, it's complicated. Child of God, look up. Stop. Take a breath. And look to the hills from whence your help cometh. There is no searching. There's no end. There's no finding out an end to God's understanding. For all of the things in life that seem to us so complicated. To borrow a term that we hear a lot in this day and time, God simply is telling you, I've got this. Trust me. Lean on me. Look to me. Have confidence in me. I know you don't know what to do. I know you don't know how to do it. I know you don't know when to do it. I know you don't know why to do it. Trust me. Look to me. Again, we need to ask ourselves this question. We really need to examine ourselves over this. Do we truly believe in the Holy Ghost? Do we really believe that God is with us today? I'm not talking about in some abstract sense of, well, he's looking down on us. No. Do you believe that the God of creation dwells in the hearts of his people? Do you believe you are his people? Do you believe you are his children? Then listen to your Father. Look to him. Go to him. Trust him. I've read some articles here lately of people saying you can't, you know, all this thing about inner voices and everything, you can't trust all that. Well, you might not be able to trust all of them. Some of it might be indigestion. But you try the Spirit and see if it confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And I tell you, I don't believe that meant either that we're able to admit that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, true, that is a sense in which he has come in the flesh. But child of God, what's important to us today is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? Does the word you hear and the gospel that you receive and the things that you are taught bear testimony that Jesus Christ lives in you? That he's alive now. That he is here now. That he is present now. We hear a lot of preaching about the second coming. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the preaching or the doctrine that there's coming a day whenever Jesus is going to come and resurrect the sleeping dead, and we that are alive and remain shall be changed. I'm not taking anything away from that. But child of God, we are robbing ourselves and we are robbing him if we're not looking for his coming a lot closer to us than that. And a lot of God's children aren't. They don't realize, they don't stop to consider that he's come, that he has come. He came back on the day of Pentecost in the person of the Holy Spirit and fell upon his people. That was not a one-time event. I've appreciated so much over the years a comment I heard my daddy make one time to some brethren who were talking about how wonderful that was and how glorious that was and how all of that was back there. And Dad commented, he said, well, my Bible tells me that Pentecost has fully come. He said, I never read anywhere where it had fully gone. We still live in the day of the Pentecost of the Holy Spirit, brethren. And because we are not experiencing that in the way that we might like, is no fault of God's. We don't consider. We don't stop to look to Him. We don't stop to trust in Him. I remember hearing a little sister say one time that she'd been praying over whether or not to buy a pair of shoes. And I never will forget somebody turning to her and telling her, "Well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of in my life. You think God's got time to consider whether or not you ought to buy a pair of shoes?" Child of God, I'm going to tell you something. If it troubles you, God's got time to listen to you if you ask Him if it's time to cut your toenails, much less buy a pair of shoes. There is no matter in your life that is too small for God. If it is burdening your heart, if it is troubling your spirit, if it is causing you to be at unrest, take it to God and don't let any man tell you you're foolish for doing so. I had the brother say one time, "Well, I don't have to ask him if I ought to get out of a burning house." And again, granted, God gives you common sense. And I might not have to ask him if I need to get out of a burning house. But have you ever thought about that you might need to ask him if you needed to stay? I'm sure that given the opportunity, nobody would have had to told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "You need to stay away from that furnace." But there was a purpose for the fire. What they did was look to Him who has control, to Him who has the power, to Him of whom they had heard that He did not grow weary, that He did not faint, and that there was no end to His understanding. You say, "Well, I can't go on. I just can't go on." Do you believe God's word? He giveth power to the faint. We all understand power. We know what it's like when the power's out, right? When the power's out, things don't function for us in our world. When the power's out, we're in the dark. We can't cook. We can't turn on the TV. We're lost. We're stranded. Anymore, if the power goes, you can't get a gallon of gas if the power goes out. You ever been in a store when the power went out? Guess what? You can't check out, but you can't leave either. You ever been, and I'm sure you have, we all have, we've been at those places in our lives where we felt like the power had gone out. And I ain't talking about the lights going off physically. I'm talking about the power going out. That I did not have the strength or the courage to draw one more breath or to take one more step or to pray one more prayer or to sing one more song. It just wasn't in me. And as soon as I could make recognition of that fact that it wasn't in me, guess what? He giveth power to the faint. You did take one more step, didn't you? You did draw one more breath. You did find one more prayer. You were able to sing one more song. You found that there was a power that was beyond your own strength, that there was something that moved you and motivated you when you didn't have anything left to be motivated for. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. You know, that's such a wonderful thing. Have you ever went to physically pick up a load, maybe get it on your shoulder, or maybe get it part way up and realize, uh-oh, I can't go on with this thing? And what's worse, have you ever done that and then realized that you were in a position that you couldn't pick it up and you couldn't put it down? Most of us have physically experienced that at one time or another in our lives. And what a relief it was when there was somebody standing close enough by could run over and say, let me help you with that. Let me get that. You're going to hurt yourself. You see, God is always there so that we don't hurt ourselves. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Whenever I feel like that I am faced with something that I cannot possibly pick up, the death of someone I love, or the terminal illness of someone that's near and dear to me, or a divorce, or an addiction, or whatever it might be, whenever I am faced with that thing that I know that I cannot carry, and that if I attempt to, that it's going to crush me. God says to them that have no might, I increase strength. God gives us what we don't have the ability to do. His strength gives us what we need to shoulder that load that we ourselves could not bear, that we ourselves could not carry, that we ourselves cannot even contemplate. How many of you have been in that place that you were faced with something that you thought about maybe and seen it in others and thought, Lord, if I ever had to go through that, I couldn't take it. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't do that. Then were you ever called on to do that very thing? Watched several of my friends over the years go through losing a parent, and I thought, man, I can't do that. But I did. And I found that by God's grace and mercy, not only could I do it, but in spite of the fact that it broke my heart, I could do it with joy. I could do it with thanksgiving because God was faithful to his promise. That God was true to his word. Didn't mean it, didn't make me sad. But it also meant that it didn't destroy me. There, I had a strength that wasn't mine. I had a power that didn't belong to me. And thank him, I knew where to turn to give the thanks for that. Now, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, sometimes we don't really stop to think, do we, that the youth get worn out. Sometimes they get worn out physically. I know Jacob for a while was working in the restaurant business. I've been there. I've done that. I don't care how young you are. Them floors get hard and that back gets tired and your mind gets weary. And even if you ain't doing anything but flipping burgers, you get tired of flipping burgers. But more than that, our youth, sometimes whether it's young in age or young in the faith, we get weary, don't we? We see them get faint. We see them get worn down. Sometimes our first reaction is, boy, you too young to be. I remember my grandpa telling me that on occasion too. Boy, you too young to be tired. I felt like I'd failed somehow because I was tired. Let's be careful that spiritually we don't pass that message along to those that are young in the spirit, whether they're young in years or just young in their walk with the Lord, that we don't ever pass along to them the attitude, why, there's something wrong with you. You're too young to be tired. You're too young to be weary. You haven't experienced enough in life to be tired. Let me tell you something. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now, the reason he said that is not to discourage the young people, but to remind you that you have heard, you've been told, you know that there's nothing past God's understanding, and that you have his power and his strength afforded unto you because he knows you can't bear it on your own. Trust that. Call on him. He's listening. He knows it matters to him. But they that wait upon the Lord, I suppose this is, most everybody I know, this is generally one of their favorite verses of scripture in the whole Bible. But it's even more so when you consider what went before that. Even the young men, even the youth shall be weary. But they that wait upon the Lord, it's not our nature generally to be good at waiting, is it? Lord, I'm in trouble and I'm in trouble now and I want out of it now. Lord, my heart's broke. Fix it now. Lord, I'm afraid. Give me courage now. Lord, I can't carry this. Come and help me right now. Well, I'm going to tell you two things. He is there right now. And he knows exactly when to put his hand on that load. He knows exactly when to reach out and take that in a way that's going to give you the greatest relief and at the same time cause you to know to the depths of your soul that it was God that did it. That it is God that did it. You see, if he takes it too soon, we might be kind of prone to thinking, well, okay, I got through that pretty good. If he waited too long, why, it might crush us. But when we wait on the Lord, like I said, we're not generally good at waiting. When you go see the doctor, 9 times out of 10, what is it you dread most, seeing the doctor or waiting to see the doctor? Sitting in the hospital and waiting for a surgery to be over. Well, yes, you're concerned about the surgery, but the waiting is just almost unbearable sometimes. You're expecting a friend or a family member to come that you haven't seen in a while. And they don't show up right when you think they should. And that waiting gets to be hard, don't it? Our imaginations run away with us and we begin to consider all kinds of terrible things that might happen. Come to find out they just stopped for an ice cream. But We're not good at waiting. See, that takes God's grace too. They that wait, those that are patient, those that say in their hearts, I'm going to stand right where I am until the Lord strengthens me, until the Lord moves me, until the Lord tells me my next step. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Been a few times in my life that I've had labor going on sufficiently and maybe for enough hours that when I laid down, you ever been too tired to go to sleep? You ever been so weary that you couldn't rest? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Sometimes it might take a couple of days to get through that. But there's nothing any more renewing, is there, than to be able to sit down and truly wait, to truly rest, to truly be confident in a solution. Nothing more encouraging to the soul than to know that I can wait on Him. That doesn't mean that I've given up. It means I'm waiting. If you give up, you're not waiting. If you give up, you've decided, well, He ain't coming. If you give up, then you're saying, well, He's not going to help me. If you give up, then you're saying, I can't trust Him. Wait on the Lord. If I'm waiting on Him, then it means I do trust Him. I know that in spite of everything, He's going to come on the scene, He's going to be on time, and He's going to have everything that's needed to make this right. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Eagles live in the high places. Eagles have excellent eyesight. Eagles don't fear many things. Eagles are committed to one another. One of the most fantastic things, and I've never seen it literally, but I have seen it on film and I've read about it. Eagles, well, for one thing, it's my understanding that eagles mate for life. And every so often, they renew that confidence in one another. The female will flip over on her back, tuck her wings, and she's falling from a great height, falling to the earth. And before she hits the ground, her mate swoops in and locks talons with hers, and they soar back to the heights. A lot of wonderful, interesting things about eagles. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not my strength. I've come to the point in my life I can't run from here to the road and not be weary. I can still walk to do pretty good, but I can't walk forever. But with God, in Him, through and by His grace, whatever it is that's overtaken me, whatever the load, whatever the burden, wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Haven't you heard? Haven't you been told? More than that, not by a preacher, but hasn't the Spirit told you? Where it matters. I don't faint. I'm not weary. You're not facing anything I don't understand. You're not facing anything I'm afraid of. I will be your strength when you don't have any. And I will be your power whenever you can't lift your arms. You wait on me, and I'll make you soar like an eagle. I'll see to it that you can run as long as you need to, walk in my kingdom as far as I'll send you, to his glory, to his praise, to your comfort. Wait on the Lord. Stand still and see his salvation. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer.